Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother John. I'm recording this from my home on Saturday, March 28th, and I'll post this for Sunday morning, the 29th. This is the first time I've done a recording from home, so bear with me. I trust that you are doing well, that you're praying, you're seeking God, reading the Bible, and doing all that we know to do. We certainly are living in unprecedented times, and obviously things have changed very quickly. Everything that's happened was unexpected, and when something this dramatic happens across the world and in such an unexpected way, there's one thing we need to realize: our God's in control. Our God is in control. I don't believe he wants us to fear. I don't believe he wants us to be driven by the opinions of media or even the government. I think he wants us to focus on his promises and his word, focus on him, what he's done for us, what he's promised to do for us, and what he is doing us for now. And I don't think we should get caught up like the rest of the world in a spirit of fear and panic, but I think we should be steady, realizing our God is in control. So I would like to turn to the scriptures today, to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And I don't know how long this will be. I'll try not to be too long. We'll see how things go. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today asking for your mercy, asking for your protection, trusting your word, trusting that all of your promises are true, and that no matter what we see with our eyes, no matter what the world is doing, Lord, we know that you are God alone, and that your word is true, and our souls are resting in the scriptures, in the word of God. And Lord, I ask you to bring comfort to your people. Your spirit is called the Comforter. I ask you to bring calm and peace into the homes of the believers. Help them to realize that you've been training us for this hour. You've had a purpose in your mind from before the foundation of the world, and that you knew all this would happen. All of it was ordained to be. Lord, help us to do your will now in this life. I ask you to bless those that hear this message, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we look at Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. Of course, this speaks of Jesus Christ. He is that child that was born. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And we know there will be no peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom. As I said, we're living in unprecedented times. We hear that word being used a lot. Unprecedented means without previous instant, never before known or experienced, unexampled, unparalleled. We're living in a time that we haven't seen before. Can you ever remember a time when the whole world was shut down because there was fear that people might die of a virus? I don't think this ever happened before. I can't remember anything like this. I don't think we had the communications and technology of the world where all the world governments are acting almost as one. So truly we can see how the world in this day has become so connected. Politically, with technology, and all the governments are acting in line. And if any government would not follow the trend, they would be considered crazy or reckless. Even in our country, one state starts to take action to be proactive, and then another state, and then another. And now the whole country has decided to shut down, and people are not thinking about the cost of the shutdown. I wonder sometimes if they fully understand the cost, would they have done this? But to me, it looks like the cost was not really considered. So it appears that this is more of a reaction, not based on complete known facts, because this virus is new. It's unknown. And we can, of course, follow the logic, and I'm not disagreeing with what's been done. I'm just bringing it to our attention that this is something different and something new, and I think it means something for us as Christians. Of course, the medical people and the governments have explained over and over again, this is a new virus. There's many unknowns. They know that it's very contagious. They know, and we've seen that people are dying. Many people are dying because of this virus. But we don't really know how many people will die. We know that other viruses came in the past. I think like the swine flu, where 60 million people got it, and more than 12,000 people in the U.S. died. I think 60 million had it in the U.S. But nothing like this happened. So obviously, they believe this is much more severe, and that many more people would die. But we really don't know how many people will die, and all this is done in order to protect and to save lives, to keep our hospitals from being overrun. People are afraid, and so the governments have decided to shut down the whole world in order to flatten the curve. And we understand that to flatten the curve, that means that if we we since we don't know how many people are going to get the virus, if too many people get sick at the same time, our healthcare system will be overrun like it is in Italy. And it's already happening in New York City, where the number of cases is really high and the number of deaths increasing daily. So drastic action has been taken to practice social distancing, which I guess it's working. I'm not sure. Time will tell. And to slow down the spread of this virus and slow down how many people need to go into the hospital. Of course, we know that not everybody that gets this virus gets severely ill. Actually, most people that get it some are not even aware that they had it. Some people, it's like the common cold. Some people get a cough and a fever. Actually, I had a cough starting last Wednesday, and last night I had a bad fever, but it went away today. So maybe I had it. I don't know. But I thank the Lord that He's our healer. I thank the Lord that no matter what faces us, that we have someone to look to, and we can believe that our God is still able to save us and to keep us and to heal us. But we completely understand the logic used by the government. They believe they had to take drastic action to delay people from getting sick, and hopefully the healthcare system will be able to handle the cases, the severe cases, as we go forward. So I believe all that's true. But again, we need to understand something. All this action that was taken without really knowing what would happen. In other words, they're predicting based on, their knowledge and the experts and the history and what they know about this virus. But the government has declared a state of emergency, and now, within a state of emergency, they can force people to do what the government think is needed. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment. And my motives today is not that we become government protesters, and not that we would become anti-government and bitter in our minds. My purpose today is that we become aware that something's happening so unprecedented that there's going to be a change in the world because of this. The government was not sure everything about this virus. There were so many unknowns. They still don't know what percentage of people will die. It could be a very high percentage or it could be a very low percentage. So, but they decided to be proactive and to take action. And that action that were taken, they were all done to save people from dying. But again, this action was never taken before with other viruses. As we said, millions of people were diagnosed with swine flu and thousands died, but no action was taken like this. So perhaps this virus is as bad as they say, and perhaps in doing all this, many people will live that could have died. That's not the point of what I'm trying to make here. I'm not looking for us to be protesters. I'm not looking for us to follow every conspiracy theory. What I'm saying is that we have crossed a line. There, a precedent has been set here, which can easily be used for similar actions on other issues once this is all passed. And I do believe this will pass. I believe the virus will run its course. Sadly, many people will die. Actually, viruses have been killing people since there was man. Viruses have been around a long time. Viruses are not going to go away. This virus will run its course. Many people will die. At some point, the world's going to get past this virus. At some point, they'll maybe be able to make a vaccine for it. But once we get past this virus, the world will never be the same. The governments of the world have justified taking this severe action and overruling the individual liberties of man for the sake of a minority of people at risk. The governments of the world have had a taste now of the power that they have. The governments of the world can now take proactive action. Even if they don't have concrete information, even if there are many unknowns, if something has the possibility of people dying, if something makes people afraid, then we've now set a precedent. The government can take action to step over our individual rights and liberties and force us to comply, whether we like it or not. During this virus, businesses were forced to shut down. Millions of people have lost their jobs. People who own homes in one place or more than one place are told you can't go to your other home. So the rights of the individual citizen are gone. In the state of the emergency, again, we understand the logic. We understand how they justified it. But again, what's the point I'm trying to make? I don't want you to be afraid of the government. I don't think God wants us to be government protesters. But what I do think he wants us to do is wake up and realize we're at the end time. Jesus is coming soon. And that which seemed impossible is now very possible. When our precious brother Branham said that the government will shut down churches, many people could never imagine how that could ever happen with all the religious liberties we have in this country. People thought, well, you know, that just can't happen in this country. But look how quickly things have changed. Now, after this virus, look how the government can easily justify taking action. Let's take 9/11, for instance. Terrorists killed thousands of people in New York City, flying airplanes into the Twin Towers, flying airplanes into the Pentagon. And terrorists will kill again if we do nothing. So the risk is that many people could die. We don't know how many. We don't know for sure. But we know that terrorists still exist. And we know that many of them are part of extremist religions. So what we need to do, again, I'm just imagining how the government could justify taking other action. The government could say, what we need to do is be proactive. Let's shut down all these extremist religions. We, of course, would not touch the acceptable ones. You can be Catholic, Baptist. You can be any of these denominations, part of the World Council of Churches. But all extreme religions are just breeding grounds for terrorism. So let's shut them down in order to save lives, to protect our country, That may have seemed far-fetched before the virus, but I believe we're going to see a different world after this. We're going to see some bold actions taken that could trample all over our constitutional rights as an individual. In the name of saving lives, in the name of security, the government's going to say, we need to do this, and if you don't comply, we're just going to, you know, you'll be shamed for that. So what are we trying to say? It seems to me the government has now a new ability to force what they want. They don't need to have facts. All they need to do is have some healthy fear. All they need is the ability to say, we can save lives. And there's something, in my view, there's something way more important than this mortal life, and that's the soul of man. The government does not take any action to save a soul. Why? Because they can't. No man can save another man's soul. Only God can save souls. And I'm so grateful that we have a Savior. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. See, the point, brothers and sisters, is if there ever was a time we need to get serious with God, it's right now. We need to pray until we break through. We need to make time to read the Bible. We need to make our calling and election sure. For we have seen how quickly this world can change. It looks to me like Jesus is coming soon. And praise the Lord, Jesus is coming. It reminds me of a song that Brother Perry used to sing a lot. I'm watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Let me go back to our text. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now I realize there's many different interpretations of what that means, the government shall be upon his shoulder, but I'm going to read to you something Brother Branham said about that. In the Spoken Words, the Original Seed, 1962, he says, you say, oh, now, Brother Branham, wait a minute. You talk about the Spirit of Christ being upon us? The Bible said it would. Is that right? Isaiah 9:6. It said, unto us a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And his kingdom there shall be no end. And the government shall be upon his what? Congregation says shoulder. That's part of his body. My, that's his body, is it? Amen. His shoulders in his body. Where is the government on the earth at? In his body. The saints shall judge the earth. That's right. Amen. Paul said, I dare you to go to court with one another and not take it before the church, right? See, the saints shall judge the earth. Where is the government going to be upon? Upon the shoulders, his body. The government upon his shoulders. That's a part of the body. What is it? His earthly strength. God's earthly strength is his word made flesh in his body here on earth, bringing it to pass. Now, I believe that you could take this several ways. The government, it could be the government of the church, and it could be the government upon his shoulders, upon the body, forcing a squeeze. Brother Branham spoke about a squeeze, a time of forcing, and I believe it's going to happen. In the Spoken Words Original Seed, Brother Branham had a portion where he read, where the Holy Spirit told him, pick up your pen and write. And he, through inspiration, he was writing. And a portion of that writing, Brother Branham says this, I believe someday the real bride of Christ will be forced to stop preaching the Word of God. The Bible prophesies of it in Revelation 13:16. If you want to put that down, denominations will force it to stop or take its mark. Then when the lamb will take his bride, then the lamb will take his bride and judge the whore for this. Now if you turn to Revelations 13, and I'll start in verse 15, and I'll read Revelations 13, 15, 16, 17. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So Brother Branham, under the inspiration of Pick Up Your Pen and Write, he refers to this forcing as stopping the preaching of the Word of God, Revelations 13, 16. Now, I know a lot of people relate it to commercial things, and it could be that as well, but to me, it's the spiritual mark that is the real problem. And so we see a sign in your hand, your right hand, you know, giving towards it, and your foreheads, acknowledging it. So I believe we're approaching that time, and it could rapidly be where the governments will allow a forcing on the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, I also want to read a good portion of something Brother Branham said, and I know sometimes it's hard to follow along when you read a quote, but I think this is important enough that I'm going to read it. In Look Away to Jesus in 1963, 12:29 evening, Jeffersonville. Brother Branham says, "Now we believe in the same gospel, just the way the Bible's written. It's zeroed. And if that gun is exactly zeroed and in tune, if it strikes the target the first time, it'll strike the second time and every time. If a tree or a limb vine puts forth a branch and that branch bears a certain fruit, the next time that vine puts forth out a branch, it'll bear the same kind of fruit. And if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and the first branch church that vine put out, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. And that first branch baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they had the living God among them and did the same things among them that he did when he was on earth. Therefore, the people taking notice to them, though they were ignorant, unlearned, that they had been with Jesus, because the life was through them. And I have said, if I had the spirit of Beethoven in me, I would write songs. If Beethoven lived in me, I'd be Beethoven, see. If Shakespeare lived in me, I'd be Shakespeare. I'd write poems and plays and so forth, if Shakespeare lived in me. And if Christ lives in me, the works of Christ you'll do, right? It's got to be. And what is Christ? The Word. He said, if ye abide in me and my word in you, then ask what you will, it'll be done. Because the Word is there, just needs the light. And the light makes it live. So now I'm going to say something. This is Brother Branham still talking in the message, Look Away to Jesus. So now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we've looked forward to for so long, at least for many years, at least for 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, the third pull has now been vindicated. And now I'm sure you all know what it is. Now let me stop there for a moment. I think many people today think they know what the third pull is, and they don't. That's just my opinion. Now back to Brother Branham. And I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Let me stop there again. If the third pull is just preaching the word, well, the devil's been impersonating that since the Garden of Eden. The third pull is not simply just preaching the word. The third pull is much more than that. Now, let me go back to this. I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there can never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be, see? It cannot be. Now, it's in existence, and I am warned of this. Now, who warned Brother Branham of this? I am warned of this, that soon, right at this time, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be used in a great way until the council begins to tighten up, And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything that can be done. And when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. Now, I must continue in evangelism, just as I was commissioned. First, I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word, you know what to look for and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism. And friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on. For the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd things happen for me. Nothing sinful, I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to which the regular trend. Because where I've reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for a time to use it, but it's going to be used. Now, let me stop there for a moment. Brother Branham could sense that things weren't just going to keep going on as a normal trend, that in his ministry, God had got to a place, but he had to wait for something else to catch up. Now, Brother Branham had no idea that it might take 50, 60 years for it to catch up, but I think obviously that's true. Now watch, back to this. But it's going to be used. And everyone knows that, for as certain as the first was identified, so the second's been identified. Don't mind the first pull, second pull. And if you think real closely, who are spiritual, as the Bible said, him to hear is to him that is wisdom, the third is properly identified. See, we know where it is. See, so the third pull is here. It is so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, he said, this, say nothing of it. You remember that? Years ago, congregation says amen. It speaks for itself, see. But I've tried to explain to others and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this. This will be the thing that starts the rapturing faith for the going away, see. I must lay quiet just for a little while. Now remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see a change in my ministry away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at that age now. It can't go no further. We just have to wait a minute until this comes over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. Now, brothers and sisters, listen to this next part. There is coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before it, which was pagan Rome when it became papal Rome. See, this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The Lamb come up out of the earth. The other beasts come up out of the water, thickness and multitudes of people. The Lamb come up where there was no people. A Lamb represents religion. The Lamb of God, remember, I spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. Then after a while, received power. It spoke like a dragon. Exercised all the dragon power had before him. And the dragon is Rome, always. Don't you see? So don't you see? Roman denomination, a mark, Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that'll force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be into this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to a church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And now on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of that, of all that altogether. That's exactly, because they won't be able to do it. And it's tightening. And then when that time comes and the press comes to the place where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then, see. It'll be absolutely to the total lost, but it'll be for the bride and the church. Now, we are closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. I may be building a platform for someone else to step on. I may be taken before that time. I don't know. And that time may be this coming week. The Holy Spirit will come with and bring Christ Jesus. He may come next week. He may come yet tonight. I don't know. And when he will come, he doesn't tell us that. Now, Brother Branham really didn't know when Jesus was coming back. He said in some places, I predict it'll be 1977. But he also said, don't say that I said 1977. So you have to remember that part too. Brother Branham never thought people would consider his every word to be equal to scripture. So when I look at this, Brother Branham didn't realize how long it was going to be before the end. And he just felt it was so close in himself. If you listen to the rest of this message, Look Away to Jesus, which was preached in 1963, December 29th evening, he talks about the five manifestations of the creative power of God. He talks about the fish and the squirrels. He talks about Hattie Wright's sons. He talks about the storm, and he talks about the tumor in his wife's side. And all of that manifestation, see, that cannot be impersonated. That was the spoken word of God through a mortal man with the Holy Ghost. God's creative spoken word spoken through one of his believers. And it was manifested to the people following this message. Find one other movement around the world where they believe so much in the spoken word of God coming through to believers like we do, because it was identified amongst us. We were told that it's going to not be fully manifested until the time of the squeeze. See, to me, when Brother Branham spoke and the squirrels were created, when he spoke to the storm and went back, when he spoke to the tumor in his wife's side, it was gone. When he spoke to Hattie Wright's sons, when he did all those things, that was a manifestation of the power of God. That was a manifestation of a son of God. There's no impersonation of that. That's what the third pull is. It was uncovering the word made flesh. Not uncovering some man's idea of the word of God. Not uncovering some weird interpretation of the gospel. Not uncovering a new gospel, but uncovering the literal manifestation of the word of God made manifest. That's what I think we're on we're on the edge of what's going to happen. And so when I look at the government changing, I don't look at that as a bad thing. I look at it as a good thing, because frankly, we could never imagine the government taking such drastic action than to come against churches. But now I can. I can easily see now how the government can justify taking away freedoms and liberties that we have. They've taken away right now. You can't do anything now. You can't run your business. You can't hardly go out of your house. So it's coming, brothers and sisters. And again, we're not, I don't believe God wants us to be government protesters. I don't believe God wants us to be bitter at all. I believe God wants us to be awake. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants us to be sober and vigilant. He wants us to be praying. He wants us to be in tune. And he wants us to be awake. He said, watch and be ready. I always loved how Brother Perry would say, why would we have to watch if we're not going to know anymore? We're going to know something more. See, because God's going to let us know. In the days of Noah, he told them 120 years. And then as it got closer, he gave more information. He said 7 days. See, and then he said, get in the ark. So we know he's coming back. We know the time is late. Now, I really believe that we're at the end. Let me share with you one more thing about the government be upon his shoulders. This is a quote from Brother Branham, 1962, April 7th, the signs of his coming. Brother Branham says, some of the Pentecostal people today don't even count Martin Luther in them because they say they didn't have the Holy Ghost. He did. He might not have had it in the depths that we get it now, but it wasn't for that time. Don't holler. We may get to something sticky in a few minutes, you see. Wesley and those brethren, sure, they was. What was it? It was the body growing from the feet, coming up. Comes up more important parts of the body from the feet into the lungs and the heart and the head. Who is the head? Who is the head? Christ. That's the intelligence. How the body move? How the body? By the head. Amen. The government shall be upon his what? His shoulders. What is his shoulders? His body. Amen. There's where the real, true church speaks in his power. There's where the apostolic power returns to the church, when the government shall be upon his shoulders. Judgment. There's coming a real church, I believe, trying to do my part. I'm trying to do my part to present it, have it ready the best I know how, to present my part in my age to Christ when he comes. Brothers and sisters, God is getting ready to set up his government on this earth. And the governments of man on this earth are going to be taken down when the government of Jesus Christ is set up. See, it's coming soon. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read just Revelation 13, starting with verse 11, just as I finish this thought. And Revelation 13, 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that it maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both great, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And we know that is the seed of the Antichrist, that is the seed of the Pope, 666. And he's been ordained to be the leader of the Council of Churches, World Council of Churches. But listen, we're not part of that church. We're part of the Church of the Firstborn. We're part of the real believers on this earth, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood, fully trusting in the merits of Calvary, not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in our works. We're trusting in what Christ did for us on Calvary. By his stripes we were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We were healed. We will not fear what man can do unto us. We'll fear him that can destroy both the body and soul in hell. Brothers and sisters, what we need now is to make sure we got the seal of the Holy Ghost. That is the mark we need, the seal of God. You're either going to have the seal of God or you're going to take the mark of the beast. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged. Don't fear. Don't fret. Our God's in control. And he knows what he's doing. He's watching over us. God bless you. Let's pray for one another. If anybody needs me, you can text me. You can call me. I'll be available for you. We have the WhatsApp group. If you're not in the WhatsApp group, please get WhatsApp on your phone and send me a text. Say, Brother John, I got WhatsApp. I want to be part of the group. And that way you can see texts that I'm sending to a group, the local group of people. God bless you. We love you. We miss you. I'm sure we'll see you soon. But remember, if we don't see you on this side, we'll see you on the other side. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the privilege we have of serving you in this day. Lord, we realize this is an unusual time. But Lord, you are an unusual God. And Lord, we want to do your will. We want to serve you, Lord. We don't want to serve the devil. We want to serve you in this last age. We want to fulfill your purpose for us in this last age. Help us to be ready, Lord. Bless your people, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.